tonight. Episode 114 of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and good God, I got a lot of stuff to get to here. AEW will be having its first post-Dynamite debut, pay-per-view, a lot to say there, and a lot to dig into there. NWO fuckery, Evolve having a tryout, AJ Styles at Full Sail. Should we really be supporting independent wrestling? And thank God Triple H is the face of NXT. My God. Episode 114.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, Amen. It's my soul brother from another mother. This is your host, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini, and we stand here at the precipice of episode 114. My God. Why do I keep making these over and over and over again? Oh, that's right, because you guys continuously keep downloading them. Stop downloading my shit, and then maybe I'll get pessimistic enough to just drop the whole fucking project altogether. But since you guys keep tuning in, I will continue to fight the good fight for all of my brothers and sisters out there representing the Squad of O, episode 114. And as I just said in my nice little opening, a lot to get to here on the pro wrestling side of things. I have a few announcements. I've got some topics to discuss. We've got a lot to get to here at episode 114, and I would like to begin this show with an apology. I had an interview set up here. I told you guys last week that this week, episode 114, would be an interview. And unfortunately, this is why I don't announce. This is why did I just pronounce a TH at the end of that? Announced? No, I don't. This is why I don't announce names until they're in my home. For situations just like this, because I don't want you guys to get hyped for some shit, and then I don't deliver. And I could not deliver this week, scheduling issues, of course, on both ends, and it just so happens that the suns and the moons and the planets did not align on this particular day, so we're going to have to pull the brakes up on this, and I think we pushed it back. Let me look at the calendar here again, because I know what date I set up the interview, but what dates does that land on as far as airing goes? I'm going to go ahead and confirm that with you all now. Okay, this is the date here. So that would be the 23rd. So this, we'll see, this is episode 114, 15, 16. So 116 will be an interview. Episode 116. That doesn't mean 115 can't be, but the scheduled interview is for episode 116. It's going to be dopery. I'm super excited for that. I can't wait to get this guy on the show. We're going to have some laughs, tell some stories, possibly have a few brews. It'll be delectable. So we'll get to that in 2 weeks' time. I'm over here plugging, baby. Episode 116, 2 weeks' time. Live on pay-per-view. No, that's not going to work anymore. Maybe Bleacher Report. Yeah, I'll be on Bleacher Report. That's the new shit now. That and Twitch. I'll be broadcasting on Twitch, baby. Although some people have pitched that, but I don't have the time to see. The only problem with going live, because I love going live. I love the live shows that I've done. The only problem with going live every single time is that you have to have the time to do it. I don't have the time to do it. For everyone who sits at their house religiously every week or every 2 weeks or whatever it is to sit in front of their camera and do a live show, I give you mad props because I don't have the time. I record my show as early as Thursday, as late as Saturday afternoon. It varies. I don't have a set schedule to just be like, yeah, this is the time and day of the week where I'll be able to sit down and get in front of a camera and do some shit. I have enough time as it is scheduling promos and different things that I have to do aside from this podcast. So for me to sit here and say, yeah, I'm just going to sit in front of a camera and go live for 2 hours every fucking Saturday night at 9 p.m., that's just not going to fucking happen. I would love it to be so, but it ain't. If I would have had podcasting equipment 15 years ago, I would have been a fucking megastar by now because I had nothing but time way back when. But now Not the case. Actually, I'd have to go back 20 years. 15 years ago, I had met my wife, and I did not have time. But before that, pre-Steph, I had a whole shitload of time to do all kinds of pro wrestling-related shit. But that is not the case now, so I don't have the time to sit there and do that. So a lot to get to here on the show, and I wanted to bring that up. Another thing that I wanted to bring up, I wanted to make an announcement, and that announcement is, I was going to say it last week, but I wanted to wait till it was confirmed, and it is confirmed. So I'm recording this on a Friday. This will be released tomorrow night, Saturday evening, 9 p.m., at ajoum.podbean.com. Of course, you may or may not already know that based on the fact that you're listening to the show, but I'm on other outlets as well, so I'm putting it out there. That's where the new episodes get uploaded every Saturday night, 9 p.m., ajoum.podbean.com. So that's when I will be releasing tomorrow. But whilst it is releasing, I will be in New Jersey. No, I won't be doing another live edition of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I will be a guest. I will not be the host. I will be the guest on an esteemed panel, I believe. I believe I'm not the only guest. I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work. But I will be joining the good folks over at Comic Conversation. I've had a few of these people on my show before in the past. I've mentioned to you guys the founder and, well, that's ironic that I just called him that. But yeah, founder of 2BeSeen.com. They're advertisers on the show, or at least they have been in the past. I've plugged them quite a few times. Good friends with the guy over there, Joe Pombo. And he's got a lot of new projects going on, one of which is Comic Conversation. And the title pretty much sums it all up. They take either a particular title or a particular issue of comic, and they sit down, they discuss, and have a literal conversation about the comic. And the host of that show, my brother in crime over here, Mr. Brandon Lewis, who you all remember of being on my show quite a few times now, not just for the wrestling roundtables, but my Comic-Con episode was with Brandon, and my MCU trilogy, my three phases of MCU, was with Mrs. O, and of course, the great, the one and only Brandon Lewis. So my brother from another mother has been on my show quite a few times. Now he's got his own shindig, and I have gotten the invite. So he's paying it forward, and he's asking me to be on the show, and I am accepting. I will be in the house in New Jersey. I think it's a literal house. I will be there tomorrow, and we will be talking comic books, not generically, by the way. There is a specific title and issue I was asked to read up on, and I have done so diligently. I am prepared to make my statements and my soliloquies on the camera. It's not just audio, by the way, either. I'm going to have to shave and dress for this, like, appropriately, so it should be interesting. But that will take place tomorrow. I don't know when it will air. When I find out when it will air, I will post it on my social media, let you guys know, and I will, again, talk about this next week. I will definitely have more information by next week. But I do know physically I will be in the building tomorrow. And then from there, who knows what's going on. And as far as what we will be discussing, I will leave that up as a surprise for two reasons. A, I'm not entirely sure if they're sticking with it. I don't want to announce something here and then it changes tomorrow. And, you know, the other reason is, quite frankly, why not just be surprised by it, right? We need more surprises in our fucking entertainment, especially when it comes from the likes of me. So another thing that I wanted to announce, it's not really much of an announcement, it really isn't, but I've been offered a nice little opportunity by someone very close to me to somewhat get back in the wrestling game on an announcing side, something that I've done quite a bit of in my career. So I haven't done announcing in a long time. I'm very interested in doing it. The only thing that's stopping it from becoming a solid goddamn guarantee, let's go, is scheduling. Again, schedule. My schedule is ridiculous. I am on the fast track to being a busy fuck. School, parenting, working, I'm all over the fucking place. Basically working two jobs at the moment. If you want to call this podcast work, then that would be my third job. So there's a lot going on. So I don't want to commit to a company or commit to a person and take up a spot if I don't have the ability to commit to the spot. which is how I lost a lot of my jobs, because I would quit them because there's no sense in me staying around just to call out or reschedule things. That doesn't make any sense. When there's so many talented people in this business as it is, I'm not going to hold up a spot. You know, I'm not like one of these dudes. I'm going to hold on to my spot. I don't want nobody taking my spot. No, I'm not one of those dudes. I'm talented enough to get my own spots. I don't need to save a spot for myself. So I just wanted to put it out there that that an offer has been made. So if it goes any further, I will let you know. If it goes any further, I'll let you know. But if it does not, then I will also let you know that it probably not going to. I'm not going to leave you in the wind. I'll let you know either way. All right? So you guys don't have to be taken aback by that. There has been a lot of discussion as far as some of the gimmicky stuff that I've done in the past. Lightning rounds and roundtables. What's the deal with that? We know that you've had a few guests, but we haven't had any real heated debate and discussion on the show for a while. And that's been because of me. Again, you know how I go through these spells. If you listen to the show, you know these spells. When the school really gets cooking, I usually tend to do most of these shows by myself. When I have the free time to schedule around people, that is usually when I'm able to bring in other people. I really very sorely, badly wanted to have a roundtable put together for this upcoming pay-per-view, Full Gear, because I've never done an AEW roundtable before. For any of the pay-per-views they had in the past, this one I wanted to do it for because I thought it was a lot to discuss with this, because there's Dynamite's on TV, so we have stories, we have characters, we have things to actually discuss. It's not just wrestling matches between high-caliber athletes. There's some actual build-up to these pay-per-view matches, and I wanted to discuss them with a round table. But obviously, based on my voice, you can tell that the scheduling, yet again, has bitten me on the ass. But that does not mean that I still don't want to talk about this show, because there's a lot of important things going on with this show. And to be honest with you, this is a very important pay-per-view for the world of professional wrestling as a whole. No pressure, but there's a lot that's going into this show, and I will get into that in our main event discussion. We will break down Full Gear just a little bit here toward the end. There are other things that we need to discuss. So let's get into some of those things. I've talked enough. I told you where to find my show. I didn't mention my shirt. You know, you guys can support the show by heading over to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM, where you can go there and get the sexy, sexy gray tee with the nice show logo right in the front. It's a beautiful shirt. I wear it all the time. I've got two versions of the shirt. You too can have multiple versions of the shirt. It's whatever you want. Check it out. $20, all it is. Head over. Your $20 goes a long way. I've got a hungry son and a nagging wife that needs money. So, dame la dinero. Big time. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Now, wrestling, right? That's what you clicked on the fucking thing to listen to. So here we go. We're going to talk a little bit about this wrestling shit. Now, like I told you before, if you haven't been listening, the last few weeks I've been trying to dwindle down the WWE talk. So this tonight, I promise you, was a nice blend of a lot of different topics, okay? A lot of different topics. I'm going to start off right now with a message to all professional wrestlers out there. This episode will air on November the 9th, on November 10th. If you happen to be in my area, in the New York area, more specifically, now that I'm looking at this, my specific area is Brooklyn, New York, and November 10th is a big day here in Brooklyn, New York for aspiring up-and-coming professional wrestlers, because the WWN Live Network is having an Evolve tryout. That's right. It's a seminar and tryout. You come in, you learn from some of the best coaches in the world, and possibly get your opportunity to perform on the big stage here on one of these Evolve shows. They have multiple promotions tied into this one deal here. So you're going to have your chance. All you have to do is head over to wwnlive.com/seminar tryouts, SEMINARTRYOUTS. Head over to that website right there. It will give you the application. You fill out the application, you submit that, and then they will contact you, let you know what the next steps are. And hopefully, good luck to you guys on getting this opportunity. And it's a huge deal. They have put a lot of fucking people
out of Evolve and have become big stars. I'm reading this now, and it actually says, besides from the coaches, which are notable people here, guess who's going to be in the house here? We're very excited to announce, this is on the page, we are very excited to announce the NXT champion Adam Cole will be the special guest at the November 10th Evolve tryout, which is the one here in Brooklyn. Cole will share the lessons he's learned at the WWE Performance Center that have made him NXT champion. Learn from the man himself, baby. Come on down, wwnlive.com/seminar tryouts. I keep putting an H in there. I don't know exactly why. It's wwnlive.com/seminar tryouts. That's that. They did not pay me for that ad, by the way. That's just me paying that shit forward. Submit your shit. Get yourself an opportunity. Speaking of NXT, a lot of commotion about NXT recently. Their invasion of SmackDown, their less entertaining version of it on Raw, and then Raw invading NXT, or at least the OC coming down. I thought it was weird to see AJ Styles in an NXT ring. That was odd. Same thing with the other guys, Gallo and Anderson. All three of those guys skipped NXT. They never went to Full Sail. They went right from Japan to the main fucking roster. They never even went through the PC stuff. So it's, you know, it was just odd to see. It was nice, but to be honest with you, it didn't look like it fit. It was weird. Even seeing the United States title, just none of it looked like it fit. It was just weird. I'm not saying that they're bigger than NXT. I'm not saying they're bigger than, you know, the stars of NXT. It just looked odd. I don't know. It felt weird seeing these guys there. I think it was because of the fact that they skipped. You know, it really gives you the impression like, you know, they're pretty big deals, you know. But I don't know. It was good to see them there. One of the things that I've been hearing online, one of the things that I've been asked, actually, by a few friends, where they're just like, wow, this NXT thing is really working out. What could possibly go wrong with this whole storyline? It's just been money ever since it started. And a good friend of mine, the one who I trust most when it comes to these pro wrestling discussions, I love picking his brain. My boy Pete hit me up. And I know you guys have heard that name before. If you haven't, he's a good friend of mine. And he helped. It's his fucking company. But I helped him. It's the other way around, actually. I helped him run 2KW Pro for a while, for a few years, actually. We were riding high. And I love having pro wrestling conversations with him. He's one of my favorite people on the planet to have these conversations with. And unfortunately, we hadn't spoken in a while, but we got to talking recently, and he brought this shit up, and it's a good point. And I want to bring it up on the show. And his point basically was, in the midst of all this, I love NXT bullshit. Here comes Pete with the whole, this storyline makes no fucking sense and is just dumb. And I was like, well, if you see something that nobody else is seeing, I would believe it. So what are you seeing? And he told me this when they invaded SmackDown, and which was well over a week ago now. Actually, almost exactly a week, right? Because I think SmackDown's on right now. No, it's a full week. It's 8:30 right now, so SmackDown's on the air right now. With the NXT people standing in the ring next to Triple H, and he broke it down. And he said, I don't like the fact that these guys who are feuding on Wednesday are on the same team on Friday. I don't like the fact that Triple H is the fucking front man. Because right now, Raw and SmackDown, when you think about it, like, Triple H is the shoot producer, right? He really is the guy who's putting all this together. Raw and SmackDown don't have a representative of equal cachet. There's no general manager. There's no head person for either brand going against Triple H. There's no generals leading these armies, as Triple H keeps saying. We're firing the first shot. I have my army. Who are you warring with? Raw doesn't have a fucking general manager or a president or nothing. They don't have anybody to go against Triple H. It's literally just the talent. So if you're on Raw and you're going to war with SmackDown and NXT, wouldn't your general be Rollins or Styles or literally anybody who is the top guy, or seen as top guy, maybe even Lesnar himself, seen as the top guy, and then going against SmackDown's top guy, like a Reigns or a Bryan, and then, you know, logically go against an NXT top guy like a Tommaso or a Gargano or whatever. Why the fuck is Triple H the voice of all this? And Triple H is the voice of all this, and I had this conversation with him. This was my rebuttal, because I told all of you the same shit. I told all of you weeks ago. As a matter of fact, can I go into my take a walk with me for a second, okay? I'm going to go back into my folder, my full episodes folder. Yes, I keep track of every episode that I have. Here we are with episode 114. I'm going to take it back now. Where is this? This is War. Here we go. That was the episode. This is The War is Coming. There it is. That's the name of the episode. And that was episode 89. 89! Which means that was 15, about 15 episodes. Not even 15. Is it 15? That's 99, 09, 20, 25. Yeah, about 25 episodes ago. So about 25 episodes ago, I told you fucks, okay, that this was going to happen. I told you guys, I did, that Triple H cannot help himself. Cannot. Everyone was wondering, well, you know, he's turned over a whole new leaf, right? He used to hate these indie fucks. He used to hate these outlaw mud show pricks, right? That's another thing we're going to get to here tonight. We're going to get to all that. Triple H turned over a new leaf. He's in love with these guys now, right? Nah, that was never the game. And you people fucking know that was never the game. That's why he's the cerebral assassin. That shit is not a gimmick. That shit is for real. No one plays the game like Triple H does. Hence why he's got the name. He took all that talent, just put him in front of a camera. That's it. I'm sure they fine-tuned him up, taught him all they needed to know to get by on a WWE screen. But at the end of the day, that's how it all went down. Okay? Triple H looks out for Triple H. This war has absolutely nothing to do with Triple H. Nothing. This whole thing about a war, if you want to have a war, you can have it. Let the talent go in there and literally carry out a war. There was no need for Triple H to be in the ring talking about rallying the troops to fight who? Who are you fighting? Or we're going against Raw and SmackDown for a battle of supremacy. You're not. You're not. It's a good sell. It's a good sell. It's very marketable. It really is. The graphics look nice. But there's no real... there's no battle of supremacy. If you're an indie fan and you're a you like the spots and you like the hard-hitting style and you like the more, you know, intricate professional wrestling matches, you're always going to sit there and say NXT is the best, regardless of who wins at Survivor Series, right? You're going to say to yourself, it doesn't matter, NXT is the best. If you're an old school wrestling fan and you like the stories and the tits and the ass and all that other garbage, you're going to say Raw or SmackDown is the best. The winners of these matches will give neither side anything. That is not how any of this is going to work. And if it is, and if I'm wrong, and it is, and it's going to go the other way, I tell you this right now, it ain't going to go that way because of Triple H. He cannot help himself, guys. This isn't something that he can just stop on a dime, okay? Triple H going Triple H. Triple H, okay, is going to do what Triple H is going to do. This whole war is right up his alley. And AEW is the one that brought the war to the table, right? We're going to go against the big dog. We're going to take shit off his plate. Well, that's right up his fucking alley. All you did was just reinvigorate his ass. So he's ready to fucking go. Triple H being the face of this whole thing is ridiculous on a number of levels. And you've got options. Look at the way that people have received Adam Cole. Look at the way that people look at Tommaso Ciampa right now. Absolutely, positively gold on the NXT roster. Gold. There is no need for Triple H to be out here challenging, trying to light a fire under Seth Rollins. And I'm using my Vince voice because that's what he's becoming. Slowly but surely. All he needs is that swagger walk. And then he'll be good to go. Shit ain't changed, folks. It's just a different day. That's it. Shit ain't changed. It's still Triple H, baby. Doing his fucking thing. No different. There's been no difference. You think he's turned over a new leaf? No, Papa. He hasn't turned over shit. He's still the same fucking guy that when he sees an opportunity, he cannot resist. This is the slowest mutiny of all time. He is just slowly and surely working his way into a position where Vince will have no fucking choice but to give it to this guy. None. No fucking choice. So we'll see where that goes from there. Much more to discuss here on the show. We're going to switch gears here. No pun intended. We're not going to talk about AEW's full gear just yet. I just wanted to give some props to AEW. I'm gonna give them some props because I have a feeling during the full gear talk, it may not be as positive. But I will give them a lot of credit. A lot of fucking credit because I was worried. I was worried, and I'm still kind of worried because it's still, we don't have a whole lot of body work here to work with. It's only been just a few weeks. We're a little over a month now of weekly programming. And I got to tell you, I have got to tell you, I'm entertained by the show. I really am. I am. I'm really entertained by the show. I see more potential in it than they're doing with it. But I can see down the line with more time and maturity, they're going to get the formula down. It's not entirely different from the WWE, but yet somehow it just feels a little bit different. There's something about this Dynamite show. It's a little bit different. But also, you know what? Because I'm about to talk about it here. Also kind of the same. They went off the air last week, this last episode that just happened. They went off the air in a very familiar way. I kind of got goosebumps as to how this went down. So, obviously, Cody's promo, just classic pro wrestling stuff. That was a great promo, no doubt about that. That ending with the shenanigans. You know, this guy hits this guy, and then another guy comes out from the crowd and does this. And, you know, Kenny's in the ring, so here comes Mox. But then the Ortiz and Santana come out, but then the Young Bucks come out to get them, and it's just over and over, and all of a sudden now three or four of your top programs going into the pay-per-view was all fighting outside of the ring. That felt like an NWO fuckery segment. An old NWO fuckery segment. That's what it felt like. That felt like how one of those old Nitros would go off the air, right? It would be like Hogan in the ring talking shit. And then, like, as he's talking shit, Luger comes out to confront him. But there's too many people, so they start beating on Luger. And then here comes Steiner or something stupid, and they come out. And then they get the upper hand for a while, but then here comes some more heels to outnumber them. And then all of a sudden, like, another babyface comes out, and another babyface, and it's all kinds of fuckery in the ring, and they're all ringside, and Hogan's just watching the massacre take place. And then here comes Sting from the rafters right behind Hogan, and Hogan is shaking in fear, and he's pissing in his boots, and Hogan powders out and starts to head toward the back, and Sting lights every heel up with the fucking baseball bat, and while all this chaos is going on, you see the little letters at the bottom with the copyright, and you hear Shivani go, well, we don't know what's going to happen here, we'll see you next week, and then the camera literally fades out with action still going on. That's old school Nitro, baby. That shit used to happen all the time. And I love it. I got that fucking feel again. I was watching it. And I was like, here are your top programs, right? Cody comes out to fuck up with Chris Jericho. Here comes this guy. Here comes that guy. Mox comes after Omega. Ortiz and Santana go after fucking the Bucks. Everyone's just fighting. And the camera goes right off. And you're like, what the fuck? And the way Nitro would do it is they would keep filming. They'd cut the feed, but they'd keep filming. And then they would open up Nitro. Here's what happened when it went off the air. And it gives you, not only does it show you all that great action, but it kills up time in the beginning of your program, and then allows you to do something new and just keep the fucking fire burning. And AEW did that. That was a great blow-off segment. leading into the pay-per-view, which we'll talk about here in not too much time. But what a great blow-off segment. I was completely blown away by it. I was like, this is amazing. This is a lot of fun to fucking watch, to be honest with you. I was like, this is fucking great. This is what I was talking about. Because when I was doing, I think it might have been in that same episode. It was episodes after that. But I said, I truly believe, and I still believe it now, NXT by far has the best talent roster. Between the two, between AEW and NXT, I feel, pound for pound, it's a better roster. But I do believe AEW has the biggest potential. Because I think if all of those young guys that are on AEW start utilizing this time well and get that experience under their belt, the Janellas and the Pages and the Havocs and the Allens and all these guys can start getting a wealth of knowledge underneath them. Guevara, even Santana and Ortiz to a degree. I mean, just the whole young contingent in AEW, if they can learn under the tutelage of some of these veterans that are on the roster, this could lead to a very big renaissance in professional wrestling, especially when it comes to All Elite. And slowly but surely, it seems like it might be heading that way. This is the one time that you see a lot of old guys taking up TV time on a program, and no one really seems to be having a problem with it. And I know I'm not one to talk because I've done rants on here before where I'm like, I'm sick of the nostalgia, but the guys that are being brought in are not being brought in for nostalgia. They're being used either to get the shit kicked out of them, which is not very nostalgic, or they're coming on camera literally just to tell the audience, this guy's great, I'm endorsing him, he's the next fucking thing. You know, the Rock and Roll Express comes in, they get beat up, and we've had DDP show up and do some things, Arn Anderson with the Spine Buster over the pay-per-view, or over it All Out, Tully Blanchard coming in as the manager for Shawn Spears, basically Tully coming in telling the world Shawn Spears is great. Same thing, DDP walking in, telling the world, Cody, MJF, these guys are great. You know, Rock and Roll Express, we're going to put over the new tag team champions until they get the crap kicked out of them. But it actually would have been nice to see Rock and Roll hand those title belts over to SCU in West Virginia, World Tag Team Championship. That would have been a nice moment. The old guys that are coming in, A, are not coming in for long, and B, they're coming in specifically just to fucking put these young guys over. There's no other reason for them to be there. And for that way, in that regard, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. In WWE, the 50-50 booking is so crazy that even the old guys that come back have to get their win back. That's not happening here. And I can truly and 100% appreciate that. I'm glad to see it. I really am. We wanted to talk a little bit. There was a little bit of chatter on another topic that involves independent wrestling. So we're going to get into that in just 1 second. But before we do, I want to read one of these things again here. I want to let all of you know, if you get the chance, you get the opportunity. I'm going to put it in the description again. But if you're done watching Raw and SmackDown, if you're done watching these national television brands bring you professional wrestling that's bland, that you really can't get into, it's just boring the hell out of you, you just wish you can get a little bit more creativity out of these characters and storytelling, now is your chance. I'm not going to give you a pro company to be a booker, but I can give you a forum. I can give you a place to get that creativity out of your head and on to the social media for everyone to see. And of course, I'm talking about, like, just like I talked about last week, hardcore effing wrestling. Okay, all you need to do is head over to the Facebook group Hardcore Effing Wrestling. It ain't what you think, folks. It's literally hardcore fandom here. This is fan fiction. You come in, you can create your own characters, decide on your storylines with other competitors. It's just like sitting at the freaking screen going nuts over what they're doing over there when you keep telling everybody this doesn't make sense, it should go like this. This is the place to go to make sure that it goes just like that. Head over to Hardcore F'N Wrestling, Hardcore F'N Wrestling on Facebook. Head over to speak to Steve Perillo. Not hard to find. Head over to the Facebook group. He's all over the place. He's one of the admins on the page. He will hook you up. He'll give you all the instructions you need to know, rules of the road, and he will get you started. All you need to do is hit them up. Head over to Facebook.com right now and head over to Hardcore F'n Wrestling. Get your fan fiction game up. Win the world title and be a champion all in your own world, baby. All right, head over there. Check that out. I can't wait to see you guys. Get on top. Get over like the rest of us here in the pro wrestling world. Just, you know, in your own form. It's not bad, right? That's not bad. Let's head back into the world of professional wrestling for just a second here. Independent pro wrestling. Got a bone to pick. Not with independent pro wrestling. I love independent pro wrestling. I used to be an independent pro wrestler, along with all the other fucking things I did on the road. But I got a bone to pick with a catchphrase. Something that's been thrown around by fans and wrestlers alike. And I don't mean to be that guy, again, because, you know, there's people who use this that I'm probably going to see in locker rooms, but truth is truth, and we're going to get uncensored as per usual. There is this catchphrase that gets thrown around a lot, right, where it says, support your local indie, right? Support your local indie. We hear that one a lot. Support your local indie, right? Almost like it's some sort of mantra. You know, they're holding you to this. Oh, we're going to support our local indie. You know, you have $100 to spend to go see WWE Raw, and you'll go and you'll spend the $100 and then you'll get on your phone and your laptop and you'll complain about the show. But you got $100 for them. But you won't go to your local indie and drop $20 and see the future WWE stars. This is flawed logic. I've had problems with this comment for a long time. I've even had arguments with other people about that. Support your local indie. That part I'm not against. You should support your local indie. The problem with that is the catchphrase itself is very, very vague. Very, very vague. I would like to make an amendment to the support your local indie. Okay? Here's my amendment. I would like to throw this out there. You feel free to use it if you'd like. Please support good, ethical, hardworking local independent wrestling. I think it's a little longer, not as easy to say, a little less catchy, but far more truth. Because to be honest with you, again, I don't want to be that guy, but truth is truth. There's a lot of independent wrestling companies out there that shouldn't get a dime of your money. That should not get a dime of your money simply because someone is a local merchant. You know, this goes beyond wrestling. Just because someone's a local merchant or a mom and pop or a little lower on the totem pole when it comes to economic situations does not mean that they are owed your money. That's not how that works. You're still paying for a service. If you're an independent pro wrestling company and you cannot get me entertainment to a higher standard than the WWE, then you don't deserve my money. How hard is that? How hard is that to comprehend? There are so many professional wrestling companies out there playing professional wrestling company, right? That are not that good. They're not that good. They're promoted by people who can't promote. They're booked by people who can't book. They're all either yard tards or a bunch of $20 guys with the same fucking E-Lucha gear they've had since 2009. It's friends, it's family, it's people that want to play wrestler because they watch it on the TV. There's a lot of companies out there like that. And no, they don't support you. They don't deserve your fucking money. They don't. I think you should save your money to go to shows that will give you more bang for your buck and value. People who run specials, people who run good buildings with air conditioning. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, we can't all afford these big buildings, you know. Well, no, you don't have to get a big building. I've seen a lot of great independent wrestling shows in not-so-great buildings, but they were buildings that took care of the fans. You understand what I'm saying? A few beverages. Even if they're bringing it from the store, a few beverages, you know, at least keep the cold out, keep the heat out, whatever the fuck you got to do. Promoters that actually promote. Speak to people, to their fucking faces, radio shows, email circulations, getting flyers out there. Independent professional wrestlers who take time into their bodies and take time into their training and get gear and look good and perform well and take the fans into consideration when they're performing and tell stories. Not Jimbo Bob, who just showed up in overalls straight off the farm, who's wrestling old Uncle Edgar over here for the United States Intercontinental Heavyweight, Lightweight, whatever the fuck championship they came up with yesterday. That's basically a boxing belt. Those independent wrestling companies don't deserve your fucking money. Even the good ones. There are a few good ones with some shady fucking people in it. If I really wanted to be a real asshole about this, I'd start tagging people who hire pedophiles and rapists and wife beaters and all to save a couple bucks. Right? And it's not people. It, at least back in the day when they did it, it was a lot harder to figure out they were this. Right? It was a lot easier to keep these shit secret. There are people who are getting blasted on social media, getting tagged to shit, getting pictures blown up on Twitter, the whole Facebook message screenshots, all kinds of evidence going out there for people who are doing bad shit and getting booked. Blackballing doesn't even exist anymore. Doesn't happen. Because promoters don't, they need to rely. Promoters and bookers, and I'm probably getting myself in trouble, but I don't really give a fuck, to be honest with you, because this is the truth. There are a lot of promoters and bookers out there that can't book and can't promote. So they would rather spend the money on big name talent that they have no reason to buy or no plans to use. There's nothing wrong with getting a $200 or $300 guy if you're going to use him to get your money's worth. Not to come in and just squash some fucking some random ass fucking jabron for your local audience. That's not going to make anybody. It's not going to build anybody. Bookers and promoters are fucking lazy. They don't want to put in the time to actually book and conceive of stories and conceive of character development and take the time to deal with the talent, sit down with them and say, this is what we're going to do, or what do you think about this? They don't want to do that. They would rather just buy a guy, put him on the flyer and say, hey, look, this guy is going to be in town on November 11th and blah, 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 blah. And hope and pray that that's enough to buy tickets. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. It's the same thing that people kept telling me with all these gimmicks, right? Oh, Superhuman's going to be on a show. And I said, well, that's garbage. He shouldn't be on a show. Why? He's just living his dream. Plus, people are going to pay. He's going to draw tickets. He's going to draw attention. He's going to sell tickets. He didn't sell a fucking ticket. He didn't sell one. It was a pathetic attempt at a fucking internet attention grab. That's it. And they got it for about a day. And then it went away. As predicted. As I told you. That's why I didn't put up that big of a fucking fuss about it. Because it was going to go away. Because the only thing that sticks around is talent. Skill. Experience. Those are the only things that really stay. The shock jock shit. It never works. Never works. You either have it or you fucking don't. And that's the fucking truth of it. You either have the skills to be in this business or you don't. So the idea, okay, the idea of support your local indie, I understand that, and I do support that. But you've got to be selective. You've got to be choosy. You don't support every independent professional wrestling company because not all of them fucking deserve it. They all want their hands in the pot, but they're not willing to put in the work that is necessary to keep that business alive. They're not worried about the industry. They just want to line their pockets doing something that they think is fun, as opposed to doing this as a way of fucking life. So no, I'm not going to share any of those stupid fucking photos of support your local indie with the black and white ring, or those other stupid pictures of like, it's like a top part and a bottom part, and the top part is like a shot of a WWE arena, right? Or in the bottom one is like, it was reversed. It's like the top is like some gymnasium somewhere with a broken down ring. And then the bottom is like a WWE arena. And they're like, if you don't support me here. And then on the bottom it goes, don't bother supporting me here. You're fucking stupid. If you share that and you truly believe that because they didn't support you when you were a $10 a night guy, that they shouldn't support you now that you're a fucking millionaire, it's fucking dumb. You know how you make money in this business? People fucking supporting you. Who gives a fuck at what stage they jumped on board? That is dumb. That is the stupidest line of logic I have ever heard in my entire life. If you only had 40 fans 5 years ago, and now you're on WWE television. Are you trying to tell me that you're only going to stand by the 40 fucking people that supported you at the time? You're going to neglect millions of others because, well, you didn't bother to follow me when I was on the come up. Shut the fuck up. Take your fucking support when you can get it. The bottom line is whether they supported you when you were on the indies or supported you in the WWE, 90% of that shit is fake anyways. None of that shit is real. They're all kissing your ass, blowing you, so they can hopefully get a buck out of you. That's it. That's the advice I give wrestlers all the time when I go to schools. Take the criticisms and the support with a fucking grain of salt. Not everybody that loves you likes you. Not everybody that hates you cares for you. Go about your fucking business as per usual. Do your fucking thing. And that's all you need to fucking worry about. You don't need to worry about shit else. All right, well, that's my TED Talk. Sorry about that, but it drives me fucking nuts. Drives me up a fucking wall. Oh. You wouldn't support me when I needed the money. Now that I have money, you want to give me your money. Take the money, you fucking idiot. If you had no money, think about this for a second. I want you to think about this line of logic and how stupid it is. If you have $0 in your pocket and you're struggling to get 20 bucks out of somebody else's, right? Oh, I just need 20 bucks. That's it. Just to survive. And you're having a fucking problem with that. And all of a sudden you meet one guy who's willing to give you the 20 bucks. Not only now, but whenever you need it. Here's 20 bucks. At any time you need something, you come to me. So you come to him over and over. 20 bucks, 40 bucks, 60 bucks, 80 bucks. Now you're up to 1,000 bucks. Now you've got some cash in your pocket. Now you're making moves. And you meet 5, 10, 15 other people who love what you're doing, and now they want to give you 20 bucks. You're not taking their fucking money? Of course you're taking their funny money. Because you're not fucking stupid. That line of logic is dumb. You didn't support me when I was nothing, so now I don't want your support. Well, you fucking moron, how do you plan on expanding your brand and making more money if you won't accept new people to support you? You clueless dick. Take the support when you can fucking get it. Who gives a fuck who was on the ground floor? Who gives a fuck? At the end of the day, you want to make more money, correct? So, make more fucking money. This shit really ain't that hard, to be honest with you. It's support. You go out there, you work, people follow you. It's not as difficult as you're making it. It's hard work, but if you've got talent, you'll get over. You know who doesn't get over? People who are not talented. They don't get over. And I know you're probably hearing right now saying, dude, I've got a lot of talent. I have a lot of people who respect me in this industry. But I'm not as over as I should be. Then you're not as good as you thought. Bitter pill to swallow, but it's the truth. Because it's the truth in any form of business or employment. As good as you think you are, if you're not where the other guy is, it's because he's better than you, period. Period. There's some version of him that's better than you. Did he kiss his ass to get to the top? Maybe. Did he blow the promoter so that he could? Maybe. But the point of the fact is he was willing to do something you weren't. Thus, in a better position. Now, if you're saying to yourself, well, I've got my pride, I've got my self-respect, I don't need to do that. I support you, brother. Go with that. I love people who have a little self-respect, a little backbone. It's good. But it's not realistic. If that's the consequence of having that. If you're willing to face the consequences, then good. I respect you. Let's do it. But you can't sit here and tell yourself you've got morals and ethics, but then complain that this guy's ahead of you. Well, he did what you didn't want to. Support your local indie. Yeah, the good ones. Not the shitty ones. Pick and choose. Do your homework. Do some research. What do they have to offer you? What are you getting for your dollar? Is there any interaction? Do I get to meet the wrestlers? Do I take photos? Shake some hands? My front row? My back row? What's going on here? Pick the right places, guys. Pick the right places. We're getting toward the end here, which is good because I'm getting sleepy. Like I said, I have been fucking busy. And only got a few minutes left here, but that's fine. I don't need too much time. I wanted to talk a little bit about this AEW Full Gear pay-per-view. It's a huge one. A huge one coming up. There is a lot to talk about on this end. Actually, hold on. I skipped one. No, I'm not going to go to this one. I'll save it. Because I want to see how it develops. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to save it. I'm not even going to talk about this yet. I'm going to save this. I want to see how where this goes and how they go about their business. So maybe it's too soon to be bringing this up. So I'm going to go right to my main event here. Here we go. Full Gear. I got it up right in front of me here. Full Gear. All Elite Wrestling will be taking place again when this episode airs. As a matter of fact, it's going to be on. It's a Saturday pay-per-view, which I got to tell you, a little off-putting for me. I'm used to the Sunday deal. It's nice, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to be busy tomorrow night, so I will have to catch it another time. But I will catch it before the next episode, and we'll talk more about the fallout of what happens there. Because this is a big one. November 9th, 2019, Baltimore City. We're going to the Royal Farms Arena down in Baltimore City there. 8-match card, 1 pre-show is booked, which means a 7-match card. And you would think on paper, 7 matches, that's a good number, right? But these fucking pay-per-views, they're too long. Okay? They're too long. You don't want to be the WWE? I'm with you. Shorten these fucking matches up, will you? Plus, singles match, one tag. Single, triple threat tag, single. So it's a nice blend. It's a nice blend. I actually don't have a problem with a lot of this stuff. We also have, let me count them up here, 1, 2, 3 championships to be decided. So let's dig in here. I'm not going to go, remember, this isn't a review show. I don't do the whole critiquing and blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying to get the information out there to you. Joey Janela, the bad boy. Actually, really quickly, you know what was just recently brought to my attention? I did not know this. But apparently, based on, there's a video going around. I wish I can get my hands on it so I could share it because I need the proof. But apparently I'm the first ring announcer to have ever announced Joey Janela as the bad boy. Because previous to the bad boy, a little known fact about Joey Janela, he was the Asbury Park Playboy. That was the nickname that he had, the Asbury Park Playboy. And then out of nowhere, I forgot which show it was, he just walked up and told me that there was a name change and he's going with the bad boy. Bad boy Joey Janela. And apparently I'm like the first announcer to announce him as that. So I hope I can get my hands on that footage because that would be very interesting to say the least. But yeah, so Joey Janela versus Sean Spears, being accompanied, of course, with Tully Blanchard. That's a single match scheduled for the pay-per-view. A triple threat tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the champions that will be defending SoCal Uncensored, Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, against Lucha Bros and Private Party. Obviously, a personal investment on this match. I obviously came up with Private Party, so I've always invested in them. I've never had a chance to meet or work with the Lucha Bros. They're relatively new. SoCal. I've worked with both Sky and Kazarian in the past, very briefly, but I've had my chances. So very invested in this matchup. I can't wait to see what kind of cool shit they bring out here. I just hope this isn't the fucking opener. I'm kind of done with SoCal Uncensored opening up pay-per-views. I'd like to mix it up a bit, and if I could make a pitch, I think this next match would be absolutely perfect as an opener. If not, just to get it out of the way. This is how conditioned I am. This is why I need to do more AEW stuff. The AEW Women's Championship, Riho will be defending against Emi Sakura. Which, again, God. Excalibur is a really, really good commentator, in my opinion. I've heard him call a bunch of matches. He's really, really good. When JR put him on the spot about Emi Sakura, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I think it was the All Out pay-per-view All Out pay-per-view is when the match, when she got crowned, right, the champion. There was another match where Emi Sakura, I think it was on Dynamite, I'm not sure, where Emi Sakura was wrestling and Excalibur referred to her as the legendary Emi Sakura. And Jim Ross just flat out asked, well, why is she so legendary? Tell us about her. And he didn't have a fucking clue what to say. He was completely stunned and baffled and hoodwinked and befuddled. He didn't know what to do. And the best he can come up with is the fact that she's trained so many other people, but that's not what makes you a fucking legend. The point of the matter is Excalibur was trying to put over the talent. I get, this is why I don't penalize him for this, because I've sat in that chair, so I know how easy a mistake it is to make. And because I've been called out on this before, and I've called other people out, so I know what the situation is. Excalibur has a very over-the-top kind of, not theory, that's a bad way to put it. He goes 100 miles an hour on trying to put over talent. He loves the idea of just putting over talent hard. So I think because Emi Sakura is an older performer and a very experienced and seasoned wrestler, he thought it'd be cool to refer to her as a legend because she has trained a bunch of people and she has a lot of respect in the community and she has a lot of respect amongst her students in the business, to be honest with you. There are a lot of people who do respect Emi Sakura. The problem is throwing the word legend around is very dangerous because it's an overused term. And sometimes when you're called a legend, you're basically put on the spot to prove how and why. All he needed to do was explain why he thought she was legendary. But the fact of the matter is, and no disrespect to anybody involved, she's not. She's not. She's been a very consistent performer for a long time. But the fact of the matter is not a lot of people know about her. She's good. She's solid. She's like the Natalia of Japan. She's trained a bunch of people. She's very consistent. But she's not a legend. So when they put him on the spot, you know, he looked a little goofy. You know, whatever. That's fine. I know why that happened, so I'm not going to criticize him. But the fact that we have here Riho versus Emi Sakura here on a big card for the championship, maybe now we can get a better sense. I'm not digging Riho as a champion just yet. She's an okay performer at best, but not a champion. We'll see where this goes. You know what? I'm going in order here, and for some reason the pre-show match is right in the middle. But yeah, it's labeled as a pre-show match. Bea Priestley and Britt Baker. So another singles women's match, this one being the pre-show. I think Britt Baker gave up all of her babyfaceness during her hometown, which was dumb. I get it. They want to put her over in Pittsburgh, but why didn't she receive the title? Because she got the title match against Riho the week before Pittsburgh. Riho and Britt Baker went at it one-on-one for the Women's Championship on Dynamite the week before Pittsburgh. And then they get to Pittsburgh and they do this big fanfare deal. That would have been great for the title match. But I know why they didn't, but it's like it's half pregnant. Because the Young Bucks and everybody will sit here and say, well, we're in a new age. The idea of babyface heel, like sticking to it as hardcore like that, it just seems so passe. It just seems so over the top. But the reason why you didn't put Britt Baker against Riho in Pittsburgh, and I don't know this for sure, I'm speculating, but it seems logical to me, is because if Britt Baker faced Riho for the championship in Pittsburgh, Britt would have to go over. She can't lose that match in Pittsburgh. But at the same time, you can't drop the title off of Riho so soon. So they kept them apart. They did the match before, and then they let Britt Baker do the whole babyface deal in Pittsburgh. But that's what I mean by being half pregnant. You just told me you didn't give a fuck about heel babyface. So what would it matter? Why would you? You did everything right. You maximized it. But that's why I feel like I'm disappointed, because you could have gotten something out of that hometown crowd pumping up for Britt against Riho for the championship. It would have been a hot atmosphere. But the reason why you didn't is because Britt's a baby and Riho's a baby and you don't want to take the belt off Riho so soon. So because of that, you put a lesser known heel in there and just had Britt beat the shit out of her and look good in Pittsburgh. Everything you did was sound. I've got no complaints about that. But if you're looking for a maximum opportunity here, putting her in a championship match in her hometown was a better idea, no? Especially if you're throwing away the old school and sentimental concept of heel versus babyface, then what the fuck did it matter? What would it matter if you beat Britt in Pittsburgh? They're gonna disown her? They would have stoned her in the ring? She would have never allowed to visit her parents ever again. She's gotta move. I don't know. Which one is it? Do you not care or do you care? Because you did a very good job of protecting two baby faces in the division. But according to you, you don't care about baby faces. It's weird. It was weird. All this is weird. I love the fact that she came out with a Steeler-like theme for her entrance recently. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Bria Priestley comes from the UK. And these two, if I'm not mistaken, have had wars in the past. So that should be a very hot pre-show match. Adam Page versus Pac. Why is his hard? Pac. Why the fuck do these people keep calling him Pac? It's a stupid. It's stupid. It's Pac. The A is it's a different A. You wouldn't call Tupac, right? Tupac, like two packs of cigarettes. That doesn't make any fucking sense. It's Pac. Why is this hard? And Hangman versus Pac, I'm over it. That bloom fell off a while ago. It's like the feud that never happened that won't seem to go away. Adam Page had a good run leading up to the championship against Chris Jericho. I understand that you can't keep running that because that just would result in Page just continuously eating pinfall. So I would see why you wouldn't do that. But that promo he did the other day was a pretty good promo. He needs to start feeling like a top guy again. So unless you plan on putting him over on Pac, which it doesn't seem like you are, then I don't see the point of this. Why is Pac not in the title situation? I get that because Jericho's a heel. But again, half pregnant, right? If you don't care about babyface heel, then what would it matter? Pac's got the better record. He's obviously has the pedigree. He should be competing for the championship. No. At some point. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to get to it in a second. But I'm in love with that main event. As a matter of fact, let's keep it going because there's three matches left. The next three matches, as a matter of fact, I think is what they were considering to be main event matches. Even the Adam Page-Pac situation. But the three highest-billed matches are follows. The Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson, against Santana and Ortiz. Proud and powerful. They're wearing the clothes. They've mentioned the name on TV a few times, but they haven't officially named these guys Proud and Powerful just yet. And it's on their insignia. It's on their social media. It's what they call themselves in real life. I would know. But they haven't named them. Themselves that just yet, but this is going to be an interesting matchup. Young Bucks and Santana Ortiz, not the first time that they've competed, and a match that I had my hands on way back in 2013 or 14, one or the other. So close to getting that match. That would have been a first time at the time had I been able to book that, and to my eternal regret that I did not be scheduling money. There was a lot of things involved. But it did not happen. And that would have been huge for me if I would have been able to promote that match. That would have been great. But I didn't. But AEW is the Young Bucks and Santana Ortiz. It's going to be a pretty interesting, pretty hard-hitting matchup. I can't wait to see the creativity involved. Live on pay-per-view should be really good. But these next two matches are going to be great for me. I said it last week. I preached to the moon. And I said that I was backed up. I hadn't seen any of the AEWs in a while. I'm currently up to date. But I hadn't seen any of the AEWs in a while. And I hope and pray they give a mic to Jon Moxley at some point. And they did. And it was fucking awesome. One promo. I was not digging this match at all. And then, boom. Promo. I now care. How hard was that? He didn't need to be wrestling to deliver a promo. I needed that promo from the fucking get. Not now. Not a week or two before the pay-per-view. You should have been shooting promos before that. Jon Moxley is a promo god. I love this fucking man. It's not a whole lot. But the mannerisms, the voice, the way that he walks around, he paces, he's uncomfortable in his own skin. You fucking buy him when he speaks. You understand him. You feel him when he speaks. And believe it or not, I'm not a huge fan of when Kenny speaks, but even his part in all this, when they were doing a sit-down with him, which he does a whole lot of sit-downs. Every time I look at Kenny, he's sitting down talking to a camera. But his sit-down here was fucking, it was money. It was good shit. Don't act surprised that this is a hardcore match. It's not a hardcore match. That's the difference, though. That's why he's upset, because it's unsanctioned. Which is another thing. He keeps walking around here saying, Moxley keeps walking around here saying, I'm unsanctionable. I'm unsanctionable. No, you're not actually. You are unsanctionable. That's why they did it. They unsanctioned it. You're not sanctionable. That's the problem. They won't sanction you. I get what he was trying to say. I'm just being nitpicky, but it was hilarious because that was when I was watching it live, I said those things out loud. So you are unsanctionable. That's why they did this. You are unsanctioned. The problem you're having is not being sanctioned. You're not very sanctionable. But I get what he was trying to say. He lived with Tad Joe. Now we're just splitting hairs. But at the same time, this match, I'm more interested in now. I haven't been big on Moxley's matches since he left the WWE. He just doesn't move the same. He doesn't look the same. I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know what it is. There's just something very not fluid about him that's irking me. There's something about his matches that I'm just not that into. But when he promos, when he works the gimmick, I mean, he's fucking money. He's Jon Moxley. And Kenny's going to go in there, and he's going to give the match of his fucking life. And I think this is going to be an amazing fucking match. I'm not huge on a lot of what Kenny does. I truly do believe he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I mean, I think he sells great. That V-trigger. I've gotten a lot more because, you see YouTube stuff and compilations and stuff. Seeing it week to week, the way that he throws it, to me, is fucking amazing. I love the V-trigger. I love the fact that this fucking guy just throws his fucking knee. You either know how to take a running knee or you don't. And if you don't, you are going to get fucking eaten. That fucking V-trigger is nasty. I'm more of a fan of the V-trigger than I am the One-Winged Angel. Like, it's a more impactful move. I get it. A true finisher. But V-trigger, when he throws that shit, he puts mustard on that shit. The one that he gave, was it Joey? Who was the one who was, like, bent over in the run? I think it was Joey. He did, like, a running fucking... He took this motherfucker's mandible right off. I love the way he throws that fucking thing. And I know you're probably saying, dude, you're behind on this. We've been watching it for forever. I don't give a fuck. I'm watching it now, and it's dope. And, of course, you got your main event for the AEW World Championship, Chris Jericho defending against Cody. My God, folks, I am invested. Heavy. Heavy. I am invested. Great heel work. Great baby work. Awesome promos. Fisticuffs. We're breaking windows. We're fighting through the audience. This is going to be a fucking fight. You're going to see two guys go in there. Old school professional wrestling match. None of the gaga. None of the goofy shit. None of the flips. None of the fucking tampons. None of the invisible mans. None of the hand grenades. Motherfucker. These two guys are going to go in there and have a professional wrestling match. I cannot fucking wait. I am prepared to pay for the pay-per-view and not even watch it because I'm busy. I'm prepared to pay for it and not even fucking watch it just to show my support toward this fucking match. I couldn't be happier. This match has me more hyped than anything WWE has going on right now, even though I am kind of hyped for Survivor Series, and I think the next roundtable I do will be for Survivor Series. But I cannot fucking wait. I'm fucking stoked beyond belief, and I'm telling you right now, this may not be the best match on the card, but it's going to be the most fucking interesting, and it's going to be the one where everyone is the most into it. It's going to be a beautiful fucking match. I cannot wait. It's going to be hard to fuck that one up. That's a really good fucking matchup, and it's going to be really fucking hard to mess that one up, and I don't think they will, because it is two fucking stars going in there, doing their best shit. It's just going to be fucking ridiculous. It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely great. So that's going to take it here for episode 114, folks. I have had a hell of a time spending my time with you. I hope you've been spending your time with me. I have the interview coming up for 116, but I want to do something special for 115. All this testing and work and shit that I've been doing has been holding me up and holding me back. But after this Monday, baby, I am free and in the clear at least for 2 more weeks. So I'm going to knock out a bunch of shit, guys. Trust me. We're going to have some fun on this fucking show. So that wraps up episode 14. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 114.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.